Amen. Well, who's ready for the word? Who's ready for a message? So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to bring the message for the next 25 minutes or so. And then I'd like us to finish with communion before we go. What do you reckon, everybody? So that's where we're headed. So, Father, we just come before you and we just thank you, Lord, for your spirit that's with us today. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you are here. You're with us. Lord, as we gather together, Lord, you're always with us. And we just pray right now, Lord, that you give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. Pray, Lord, that this little message today, that Lord, there'll be something in this message for everybody, that it will resonate with us all, we ask, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Here at Real Life Church, our weeks between, you know, Sunday to Sunday are very interesting. A lot of things happen here. And this week, I had a couple of different people who didn't know each other say to me how they just walk in. Oftentimes during the week, you'll have people just walk in. And some people actually don't really want anything from you. What they really want to do is actually just to come and sit in church, in the church building. They want to come and sit, generally down the back, most of them. And they just want to come here because they sense that there's peace here. And that's a peaceful feeling here in church. And that sort of thing's not unusual because we often have people coming in saying this sort of thing to us. And some of the people, not everybody, because most people who come in aren't Christians, but most people kind of think there's something about this building. You know, they attach this peacefulness to the presence of God. And they believe, I've had some of them say that they believe that God is here in this building, in this place. And so our position is that we're very happy for people to come and enjoy some peace and quiet and experience the Lord. Who thinks that's a good thing? And maybe you've done a similar thing yourself. And, you know, when people say that, I kind of know what they mean, because when Michelle and I visit our son Jared in London, and we're going to go and visit him again in July, August, we end up having a look at some old church buildings somewhere in some place, because that's kind of what you do when you visit England. Who knows what I'm talking about? And in England, there's lots of places of worship, and these places that you go into, these old church buildings, they have kind of a quiet, almost mystical, if that's the right word, transcendent feel about them. And most of you probably know that right throughout England and right throughout Europe, there's lots of old church buildings and cathedrals, lots of them everywhere. And some of these structures, you might be surprised here, that some of these structures are actually 1,000 years old, which is incredible. Ours is only about 40 years old, and we've got a leaking roof and got problems. This has lasted 1,000 years, you know. And to be honest with you, they're just magnificent in design. Recently, the famous Notre Dame Cathedral, who saw that in the news, you know, in Paris, and we've been there to have a look at it, it was damaged with fire. And it was all in the news. And our son Jared happened to be across the road from Notre Dame when it caught on fire. He had nothing to do with the fire. But he took a clip of the fire. Here's his clip. He was in a cafe. And he caught us straight away when it was happening. It's pretty sad, isn't it? Notre Dame Cathedral is about 850 years old, and it's very famous because it's very large, and it's famous too because of its Gothic architecture. I'm not a fan really of Gothic architecture, but that's what it's famous for. And so when you visit these old buildings, along with that church musty smell, who's noticed that these old church buildings have the same smell? Yeah, and we've got a... Anyway, it doesn't matter. But... they got that church musty smell, but often along with that, there's this pleasant and peaceful feeling that I can only describe, and it's my thing, I'm inventing this term, the churchy feeling. The churchy feeling. And for some people, this churchy feeling for them, sorry guys, I've just lost my place in my notes. I've never done that before, have I? Big pun? I am. I'm just wondering what's going on. I'm just picking something up, that's all. Can we just pray for a moment? Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence that's in this place right now in Jesus' name. We just worship you, and we just, Lord, we delight ourselves in you. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. Now, why do people feel God in these buildings, like that one on your screen, and even here? Why do people feel God, this churchy feeling? What's going on? Well, I believe one of the reasons why people feel God is, and like particularly in this place, is because we've worshipped the Lord today. We pray in this building. And so, without getting, you know, too crazy about this, I believe there's a residual anointing that takes place. I actually really do believe in that. I don't want to build a big doctrine about that. I actually think the reverse can happen too, because I've actually walked into some places and I felt evil. You know, that evil anointing. But when people are genuine worshippers of the Lord, there's often a residual anointing of the Holy Spirit. And people who don't know the Lord, they're not able to articulate that, but they sense something else happening to them when they come into this building and other places of worship. Anybody actually would agree with that? Yeah. And that's just my opinion. However, most times people feel that churchy feeling in an old church building, because these old church buildings, like the one on the screen there, they're actually deliberately designed to make you feel that way. The high ceilings, the icons on the wall, the stained glass windows, the shape of the windows. See how the windows, the Gothic style in particular, it's always shaped reaching up to heaven. And so when people go in there, they kind of feel like God is there, and the architects deliberately create this feeling of God. I suppose today you could say that in the modern church, we do a similar sort of thing with our music and with, you know, the lighting and the smoke that sometimes drifts across the stage. Have you noticed it when the preacher gets to the end of his message? The keyboardist comes up and plays away, because we're trying to create that sense of God. It doesn't mean it's wrong, but that's what we do. And a lot of these buildings are like that. Now, I love these old church buildings, especially the old ones. Anybody else like them, by the way? You like to visit them? And I love all the history that comes with them. But did you know that these old church buildings, and in some ways even the modern church, we've created a huge, massive problem. It's created a massive problem that is actually spiritually dangerous, and it's wrong. And the huge problem with all of this is that people think that God lives in church buildings. They do, because I hear people talk like that. They think God lives in church buildings. They think that there's some special supernatural presence attached to a church building or a so-called sacred place. It's almost, and I know I'm going to tread on some toes here, but it's almost like a superstition. And so people wrongly think that if you want to encounter God, then you've got to visit him in a special place. If you want to encounter God, you go to a church building. If you want to encounter God, you go to a special cathedral. And if you go there, you'll encounter God. Today, some would even say that to encounter God, perhaps you need to have a Hillsong or a Bethel CD playing in the background, and without it, you can't experience God. Well, that's rubbish. Now, it's one thing to come and sit and enjoy some peace in a structure in a building like this. One thing to do that. But it is entirely different if you think that God lives here in this building and in any other church building. It's simply not true. And just because we've dedicated this building, and this is an important building to us, but just because we've dedicated this building to the glory of God, it doesn't mean that God lives here. And just because we've got the best cross out the front in the whole of Perth, it doesn't mean that God lives here. The Bible says this: who is able to build a temple for him, since the heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain him? Clearly, everybody listen carefully, God does not live in buildings. He doesn't dwell in sacred locations. That kind of thinking is a religious myth that we're bursting right now. Thank God that you don't have to travel somewhere to a special building to have an encounter with God. I'm going to push the envelope even further. Sometimes we have special preachers who come through town and people feel that the need to go. It's great to hear special preachers, but people go there thinking, I'll experience more of God there than I do anywhere else. Who thinks I'm saying the right thing? Yeah, I'm on the ball. I'm on the ball. Truth is, God is close to you right now where you're sitting. You know, God the Holy Spirit has chosen to come into our world not to live in buildings, not to live in these sacred places, but rather God has come to live in the hearts of those people who belong to Him, in the hearts of people who are born again. The Apostle Paul wrote, he said this, he says, I'm writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be His own holy people. Paul was writing to people, and he called the people the church. The apostle did not write a letter to a building, because that's really dumb to do that. I saw something on TV where a woman married a bridge this past week. Anybody see that? Am I the only one who thinks that's just a tad weird? So when the Bible uses the word church, it's always referring to people. God never refers to buildings as church or as sacred. But we do it all the time. I'm going to church. I'll meet you at the church. And I don't want to get crazy with all of this. We understand what people are saying, but we are the church. You know, church is a word used by the translators of the Bible referring to God's called out people. That's what church means. And we are called out from the world. We live in the world, but we're not of the world because we belong to Jesus. We are the church. So the church always means people. Cathedrals, as nice as they are, and I know some of you might like the Notre Dame Cathedral. I'm one of these people who actually don't like it because they actually have these gargoyles all the way around on the outside of it to keep out the evil spirits. I'm telling you the truth. Cathedrals are not true churches. They're just fancy structures and places of worship. We don't go to church. We are the church. You are the church. We are the church. So when we all go home later on after 10:30, after we've picked up our kids, from this gathering of the church, we're not going to leave God behind. God will not be waving goodbye to you as you drive out the car park, saying, I hope you come again next week. God goes out with us. God is with His people, whether we're at home or at work or walking the streets. In fact, God said this. He says He would never leave you nor. So you could pray to Him at home. You could pray to Him at work. You could pray to Him when you're driving, especially when you're driving. Amen. You could pray to Him anywhere you are. And today we are the church gathered together in this building. But tomorrow we will be the church scattered out in the world because we are always the church 24/7. Hallelujah. So, we, me, you, us, people, and Christians around the world, we are the church of Jesus Christ. And you know, if things went from bad to worse in Australia, we weren't allowed to meet like this on a Sunday morning in this building, we could still meet under a tree and be the church. We are also, listen carefully, we are also the temple of God. You know, in the Old Testament of the Bible, the Israelites had a temple where they met with God. And this temple was in the city of Jerusalem, and people then had to travel to Jerusalem to worship God. And even today, Jewish people visit the Western Wall where the ancient temple used to stand, because they actually believe that God's Spirit is actually at the wall. We've been there. There's a sign saying God's Spirit's there at the wall. But I could tell you, I went to the wall. And there's nothing special about standing in front of that wall. No offense to anybody. But I'm telling you the truth. The Bible says this to us Christians: don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? So because of Jesus, we don't need a physical temple to meet with God. Rather, people can meet God through you and through me, because we are the temple of God. The Bible says this: and you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple, for you are a rejected people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. So we are his church and we are his temple. Look at that scripture. I want to pick something else up here. There are many nations in the world. There are about 220 countries in the world, but far more many nations. There are over 500 different clans or nations of Aboriginal people here in Australia alone. Did you know that? And many nations of the world are represented here at Real Life Church. We are a multiracial church, and we like it to be that way, because that's what heaven's going to be like. Amen. But because we belong to God, he's drawn us together and made us all to be his holy nation. We now all have the same spiritual ethnicity. We are brothers and sisters in Jesus. I don't care if your skin's a little bit darker than mine. You can run, but you can't hide. You're my brother and you're my sister. I don't care if your eyes look different to mine. You're still my brother or my sister, because we belong to Jesus. We're his holy nation. So we have our earthly national cultures, but now we're united under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and together we are becoming more like him. We are the church, we are his temple, and we are God's holy nation. And that's a good place to say amen. Amen. You still with me? Yes. Just a little bit longer. But the Bible also says this: God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And here it is: and the church is his body, is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So we are the church, we are God's temple, we are God's holy nation, and the church is his body. That kind of means that since we belong to Jesus, then we are the extension of Jesus Christ into this fallen world. So taking this analogy of the body, the Bible also says this. Can everybody read that text, or is it too small? Everybody good with that? It says the human body has many parts, and the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Aren't you glad about that? How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Obviously, we know that a body cannot just be an ear or an eye, because that would be really weird. All the parts of the body are needed to make a body a body. So therefore, please listen, no matter how you feel about yourself, no matter how you feel about yourself, you may feel insignificant or you may feel that you have too many struggles in your life to be a great Christian. Nonetheless, this truth still remains that since you have decided to follow Jesus Christ, you now belong. You belong. You belong and you are needed in the body of Jesus Christ. His church, His temple, His nation, His body has a place for you. No matter who you are and no matter how you feel about yourself. We, read my lips, we need you. That's really gripped you, hasn't it, this morning? We need you. Absolutely, we do. Because we're all in this thing together, whether we like it or not. We're all in this together since the day we surrendered our lives to Jesus. We became His church, we became His body, and we need each other. And without you, frankly, we're just completely out of balance without you. You could even say, taking the analogy further, you could even say we're disabled without you. We function much better with you, with you. And like any part of a natural body, you've got a role to play in the body of Christ in order for the body, the church, to be healthy and whole. We need you. Actually, the Apostle Peter said this, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. I like that. Use them well to serve one another. So you have spiritual gifts. I have spiritual gifts. And we've got these gifts so that we can serve each other with them. The book of Romans explains this a little bit further. It says this, if your gift is serving others, then serve them well. If you're a teacher, that's not necessarily talking about being a school teacher, it's talking about, you know, teaching people God's word. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love others. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice. Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? That's a tough one. So, ladies and gentlemen, please don't switch off. I'm speaking to you. Let's help and encourage one another. I'll say it again. Let's help and just encourage one another. And God's equipped every one of us with different gifts and abilities. We're not all the same. We don't want to be the same. And He's given us all different passions and dreams. Some people are into youth ministry. They're just waking up, everybody. They're just waking up. Some are into music. Some are into reaching the poor. Some are into teaching God's word. Others are into governance. Sam, could you stand to your feet? Come on, come on, come on. Sam, just turn around. This is Sam, and you all know Sam. But she really gets off on governance things, you know, administration things. I think it's completely boring. But her eyes get a sparkle in them, when she goes, oh, I can do some admin work. Amen. We're all different. Some are into having a business to give employment to others and to give extra finances to the church. We're just all different. We've got different skills. We've got different abilities. And then when we bring all of our gifts and abilities together, we become really strong as a group. We become healthy and we become whole. And that's why we need you. We're so different, aren't we? People are just... Hank, could you stand to your feet? Come on, Hank. Hank's into counseling. He's really good counselor. I can counsel people, but I'm up probably about 7 minutes, my limit. Then, you know, but Hank, he actually likes it. And he gets a sparkle in his eyes. He's just incredible, you are, Hank. Thank you. Yeah, he is excellent. Yeah. Could you put your hands together for Hank? Yeah. He's actually amazing. I think there's other people into craft work. Who's into craft and that sort of thing? Yeah, Michelle Cook. Where's Michelle? Are you, Ian, is your wife sitting next to you? Yeah. Michelle, could you stand to your feet? Yeah, yeah. So, no, stay standing. Seriously, this lady is just so creative. And I know there's others who are creative too. But no, keep standing. Because at Christmas time, remember you made us that cake? Christmas cake, and it was just amazing. Just a cake's a cake, right? But not to Michelle. She just puts all the icing on, and we took that all the way over to Melbourne to show family, and she's just incredibly creative. Everybody's different. We need everybody. And when we're together, we become strong, we become healthy, and we become whole. And when we use our gifts to serve others, oh, I had to slip that in. I just had to slip that in. Best one. That's my grandson. And I was looking for a picture to put up there with a happy face. And that he's just got such a happy face. Actually, let's just take the next 10 minutes just to stare at the photo. My point. When we use our gifts to serve others, we help to make other people happier. We add value to their day. So these different people I just pointed out then, as they do their thing, it helps to produce happiness in other people. Interestingly, and grab this everybody, when you use your gifts to bless others, you really help to make yourself happier too. Absolutely you do. Because you derive fulfillment in life, you derive satisfaction in life when you bless other people, because you function best when you flow in your gifts and abilities. And you know, if you suffer from dark thoughts and if you suffer from depression and negative emotions, one of the best things that you can do is to make it your habit to help other people. Because it will, helping other people will help you become happier and it will lift up your soul too. Man, that was great advice. Absolutely, absolutely. If you're feeling down in the dumps, don't isolate yourself. Don't wallow in that. Don't sit there binge watching Netflix. Get out of the house and go and help somebody. You'll feel a lot better. Amen. Therefore, that was really a good line, that one too, wasn't it? Don't binge watch. Anyway. When you're generous with the gifts that God's given you, then really, actually, it's actually a win-win for everybody, isn't it? And when you think about it, this room is packed with talent and ability. There's actually so much collective potential in this room. There's so much potential in this room is that we could probably turn this region upside down with the ability and talents and gifts that are in this room alone. Now you might say to me, well, I'm just not important, Pastor David. I'm just not important. No, I'm not important. I've got nothing to offer. I'm useless at everything. All I am in the body of Christ is just a little toe. I'm devoid of any talent or gift. Well, let me tell you about little toes. Little toes are really important because they help to keep your body balanced. We need little toes in the body of Christ. And besides, have you ever stubbed your little toe? Maybe a little, but it really hurts, doesn't it? Finally, you might not know what your gifts and abilities are. If you don't know what your gifts and abilities are, that's fine, that's okay. But the thing to do is don't wait till you recognize them. I suggest what you do is that you start to look for ways to intentionally be kind to other people. Target people with kindness. When you come to church, think, ooh, who can I target today? Oh, Andrew Evanson looks like he could do with a bit of kindness. Rochelle looks like she could do with a lot of kindness. And you target people with kindness. And, you know, seriously, a cooked meal, an encouraging word, a smile costs you nothing. A scripture, text message of scripture. I like to do that with people. Run an errand for somebody. Give a lift for somebody. Not so that you get back from them, but you just want to lift them up. And if you would do that, then you'll soon gravitate towards what you enjoy doing and where your true abilities actually really lie. In conclusion, we are the church. We are his temple. We are his holy nation. We are the body of Christ. God is with you wherever you go. We all belong to him. And we're all needed here at Real Life Church in the body of Christ. And if you want to make others happy, and if you want to make others happy, then use your gifts. And if you want to be happy, use your gifts. So choose kindness and shine for Jesus. And do you receive that word today?
Yes.
Let's pray, shall we? Let's just pray. I'm going to ask the ushers if they could start to distribute the emblems. Said we'd finish with communion. But Father, we just come before you and we just are so honored that you would choose us, Lord, there's nearly 8 billion people on this thing we call the earth. And we got chosen to belong to you. Somebody told us about Jesus. What an honor. What an honor for that day when you chose us. That day when the Holy Spirit convicted us of our sins and we repented and we turned to you. What an honor to be born again. What an honor to have the Holy Spirit live within us. What an honor to be able to go throughout our week and you're with us wherever we are. What an honor. What an honor to be in the body of Christ. What an honor to belong to you. What an honor to be in his holy nation. And we just worship you today. And Lord, we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll stir our hearts. Lord, not to be small thinking, but Lord, stir our hearts, Lord, to recognize that you have put gifts and callings upon our lives. Lord, we want to be a people who are generous like you, a people, Lord, who want to bless others and love others. We pray for courage, Lord, to move in the gifts and the abilities that you've given to us. We pray that for us as a community of believers in Jesus, that together we'll become stronger and bigger people in Jesus. Lord, we pray that. We want to be a healthy church. We want to be a strong church. And so we pray that in Jesus' name. And with every head bowed, every eye closed, I know the communion is being distributed, so if we could just work with that, that's great. But I just want to ask you all, if you died right now, what would happen to you? Seriously, what would happen to you? If you were to pass from this life into the next, where would you go? Are you sure that you would go to heaven or are you not sure? Well, the only way to go to heaven is by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. We've been talking today about belonging to Jesus Christ. Do you belong to Jesus Christ? Have you ever surrendered your life to him and said, Jesus Christ, be the boss of my life? And I was just wondering with every person here today, everybody praying just for a moment, if today you're saying, yes, Pastor, I would like to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to belong to Jesus. I want to know when I breathe my last that I will go to heaven to be with him. If that's you today, I'd like to say a prayer for you. Could you let me know that's you by just raising your hand right now? Give me a wave and then you put your hand down. But I've got to see. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? Put it right up. God bless you, darling. God bless you too. Anybody else? Anybody else today? Got to put right up in the air so I could see it because some of you are a long way from me. Okay. And Father, we just pray for those who have just raised their hands today. We thank you, Lord, that you work in Holy Spirit in their lives. And we pray for them. We lift them before your throne. And Lord, as they surrender their lives to you right now, we pray, Holy Spirit, you'll overshadow them. Forgive them of all their sins. And we pray that they will become born again in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.